Hello everyone, welcome to Retro Rewatch. I always said a different show. I was like, which show is this?
I can appreciate that problem. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is the fourth show of this week, so maybe that's why. Yes. Welcome Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. And with me, as always, you've already heard him, is my podcasting compadre, my partner in crime, in TV show crime, sometimes literally, sometimes just because. because some episodes are criminal, like just no other
Sadly,
way.
Sadly, yes.
Sadly, yes. Yeah, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I'm so glad we're back here recording again, because I have thoughts on this week's episode.
Yeah, not a surprise. You had some thoughts in our text conversation.
And I didn't even send you all of my thoughts.
Okay, you saved some for this show. This is great. This is how we do it. Yeah, so we're going to have another episode of TV show therapy with Jeff here.
And, yeah.
And yeah, talk about today's Stargate episode. Of course, we're still Stargate SG-1, reaching towards the end of season four, episode 19, Prodigy. And yes, it is not Star Trek Prodigy, even though my brain is constantly going there, like Prodigy, Star Trek. It's not. It is Stargate Prodigy. Maybe that should be a show.
That should be
a cool show, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could also be it's Stargate Academy.
Right. And it could run for two seasons, but yeah, get cut short because of the...
Off-network crap.
Yeah, because they're listening to a vocal minority of people that don't like it just because it's a good show.
Different, because it's a good
show. With diversity.
It's just diverse, yeah. Yeah, but as I said, like, there could be a Stargate Stargate Academy. Because, I mean, this is the kickoff episode for Stargate Academy.
I could see that. Yeah. Hey, Patrice, there's another notable thing about this episode specifically.
Okay.
Related directly to me.
Ooh.
I finally replaced my nearly 20-year-old Sony Bravia television.
Yes.
And not because the TV had died, but because there's just enough that I can't do with it now.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it was time. So now, instead of being on a 32-inch Sony, I'm watching shows on a 50-inch LG. And this was the first Stargate episode that I watched on the new TV.
This is the episode you picked for this. Okay, maybe.
Well, it's just because of timing.
Okay, it's just timing. Yeah. Good. Did it look any different?
It looked much bigger.
Okay, well, okay, that makes sense.
And and considering the age of my Sony, the image on the new TV was actually much brighter and
probably also slightly better quality, because I mean,
I mean, the old TV was 1080p,
mm-hmm,
and the new TV is 4K.
Yeah, which for this show marginally matters, because I mean, it was shot still in the, I think, even pre-1080p era or barely 1080p era. I mean, we're watching the remastered versions as far as I know, so slightly,
which would explain why it wasn't nearly as grainy as I expected.
Yeah definitely. Yeah, I mean, they shot it on film, so that was easier to do.
Yeah
anyway, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
Production. Air date for this episode was January 24th, 2001 in the UK, February 2nd, 2001 in the US. I don't know why I had UK in here. I guess I didn't see that.
Just mixing it up.
Yeah, just mixing it up. But October 10th in Germany, so same year. German title is not a surprise, a bit of a spoiler, but kind of weird, because it is Das Wunder, the miracle. I'm like, how does that make
That's
sense?
That's a weird title.
that is a really strange title. Yeah. So, don't know what the Germans were smoking when they got that one. I'm actually questioning myself now. Did I write that down wrong? But I think I checked it before. But like, just yeah. It's just weird. Let me double check that. German, yeah, the miracle.
Okay.
Huh. Maybe because it's a miracle kit. I don't know.
You'd think they would go with what is it? Wunderkind?
Wunderkind, yeah. Wunderkind.
Wunderkind.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I mixed up the pronunciation with Ted Lasso and the running joke.
Yeah, Wunderkind. Yeah, Wunderkind. But it's also Wunderkind. No, actually, in Ted Lasso, they also used the proper German, Wunderkind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why it's the miracle. Like, there's probably a story to that one, but I don't know. It has nothing to do with the episode, really. IMDb rating slightly improved from last time, but also kind of had to be. 7.3.
Yeah, last episode was a bit of a disappointment.
Yes. But we have the dynamic trio together working on this one. Writing credit goes to Joseph Malozzi and Paul Molly. And I'm probably butchering the names, but sorry. And Peter DeLuise is our director.
And so, I remember...
I did not spot him this time. I don't know.
I didn't spot him either.
I didn't spot him. I mean, he might have been, or he was in a scene that was cut. You never know. But he usually is in the episode. So.
You know, if he's... Okay, so here's my speculation on where he is. He's one of the unnamed military people on the moon planet. On the moon base.
Yeah. Or he is at the university, one of the students. There's a whole lecture happening, and there's a possibility that he was just sitting there somewhere. But as I said, I tried to find, I couldn't find him. So not obvious, at least this time. Yeah. We have some really cool guest stars this time, and a lot of new guest stars, which is really cool. I like that. So let's start with the obvious one. Elizabeth Rosen as Jennifer Haley. Known for roles in The X-Files, the Red Museum episode. The Outer Limits, Sliders. Sliders, if you remember that one.
I do remember Sliders.
The West Wing and Caprica.
Okay. I think that's why I recognize her.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I did watch the whole season of Caprica.
Yeah. The whole season we got. She will be back in future episodes of Stargate. So this is her first credit here, of course, but it's not the last.
I am not surprised at all.
Yeah. We'll see. We have, oh my God, Rutger Matthews. Don't know. This is a weird name. As Dr. Duncan Hamilton, he is best known. He won a Gemini Award for the best supporting actor in Milgard, and appeared in The Core, in Reindeer Games, Tombstone, and Da Vinci's Inquest. All things I've never heard of. We have also a notable actor, Bill Dow, as Dr. Bill Lee. He is actually a professor at the Art Institute of Vancouver. Played also the mayor of Vancouver in Da Vinci's Inquest, and is married to fellow Stargate actress Wendy Noel. So other episodes.
All right, so real quick. We have the group of civilian scientists.
Yes.
I loved that we had the civilian scientists and seeing them doing their things. And that was fun for me in this episode.
It was definitely fun. Dr. Lee, by the way, we will see in across the Stargate franchise in the future. So I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
In this case, because he's notable that like it was a very minor, small role. That's why I want to mention it. I usually don't tell you because spoilers. But in this case, it was a minor, like small role. I mean, he barely said anything. He wasn't one of the main scientists even. But apparently, people liked him, so he came back.
It's I can see that. And you're right. He was a small role in this, but actually a memorable role.
Yeah, exactly.
His character stands out to me in this episode. Yeah. I'm happy to hear we'll see him again.
Yeah. So there's another very notable person. And I don't know if you caught that. In the beginning of the episode, there is a Brigadier General that we see.
Oh, yeah, the one that that Jack is all starry-eyed over.
Yes.
And felt weird to me because not a good actor.
No, and the reason for it is he is actually not an actor. He is a actual general. He was the 16th Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force. And he made a cameo as himself in the episode because he appreciated the show's exploration of space themes. So that's why. He was actually an actual general, and you could tell. You could tell the way he was like reacting and like everything. You could tell that he was very appreciative of the situation. Like he was kind of himself a little bit starstruck, and that's not very general like in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the whole interaction.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, why'd they cast this guy? Because
And I mean, we know that.
Now I get it.
Yeah. We know that in the background, there've been a lot of military personnel that had like background roles, but he actually got a speaking role. So pretty good.
Well, I mean, he is a general. Yeah. Yeah. Like a real general.
Yeah. 2001 was last year he was in service as a chief of staff. We have Michael Kopsa as another general, Michael Kerrigan. So that's, we've not seen him before. Oh,
so he's the one at the Air Force Academy.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Kerrigan. He's the one at, he's known for voice work. Also roles in The X-Files, in Fringe, in Watchmen, The Nine Lives of Christmas. And he has been on the show before as there, but for the grace of God.
Phew. Okay. So that's why he looked familiar to me.
Yes.
I bet. Okay.
Then we have the professor. Professor Monroe is Keith Martin Gordy. Also again, MacGyver, The Outer Limits. Millennium, Supernatural, Human Target, Alcatraz, films like Watchmen, The Nine Lives of Christmas, Fear Island. So yeah, done a lot.
Watchmen, that's why I recognized him.
Yes. Yeah, we've seen him before. We have Dr. Bill Thompson, another one of the instructor, one of the academy people. He is actually an instructor at the Vancouver Film School. He's been on The X-Files, Supernatural, Fringe, Millennium, Murder in a Small Town. And he was also unnamed in season 2, The Tok'ra Part 1 and 2.
So already a recurring role.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
Unnamed because he didn't really get credit for that last time. Then we have Yvonne Bartok as Cadet Hess. Like mostly known for behind the scenes work on Stargate. He has directed special features for multiple Stargate seasons. Some of the webisodes for a future show of Stargate for Stargate Universe. So this is one of his rare on-screen appearances as Cadet Hess, if you want.
Okay.
Have to know. And the last one we've seen before, Major Michael Griff, aka Russell Ferrier. We've seen him in the first ones as a wounded SG2 member who he's part of the research team this time.
Yeah, and I did recognize him and the character, so go me.
Yeah, so still here. Yeah. There is a couple interesting things. I could have mentioned it later, but I wanted to mention it here. There's the swing high. Oh, sorry. The slogan "Aim High" that the U.S. Air Force uses, and there's a reference to that because Haley says "Swing High."
As a reference to that.
Then we have, I mentioned, Bill Dow's debut as Dr. Bill Lee. It's also notable. If you're interested, there's a really interesting interview with him from 2002. So.
Oh, cool.
If you're interested, go watch it. Maybe not you, Jeff, because it would be spoilers. And the Air Force Academy is, of course, not an actual Air Force Academy.
No, it was so not the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, it's the Vancouver Science Center, if you want to know. So
the actual Air Force Academy is in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, not in Vancouver. And
not in Vancouver. And so when they were showing the shots of that, mm-hmm. like the exterior shots of Air Force Academy, I'm immediately looking. Because I have been to the Air Force Academy on tours many times.
Yeah.
And when you drive to Colorado Springs from the mm-hmm. north, like from Denver, mm-hmm. you go right past the Air Force Academy because it's at the north end of the springs. Mm-hmm. So
it's probably pretty big, right? So
yeah, it's pretty big. And it has a very, very distinct landmark. There's the Academy Chapel, mm-hmm. which is it's like a big church. And it's like it's designed so it's like this series of like spiked towers just shooting up in succession. And
interesting.
It's a very cool looking building.
Yeah, I have to look that up.
You know, so if you're going to show actual Air Force Academy grounds footage, mm-hmm. that would be something you would want to include because it's a very notable landmark. And I'm like, this is literally not the Air Force Academy.
Nope. As I said, it's the Vancouver Science Center.
But it makes sense they would go with that because
it's easier.
They haven't used Colorado Springs footage for anything yet.
Yes, well, that's also true. Yeah. Good. That's it. There's a couple other things I want to mention later in the show.
And I bet one of them is a goof that I caught.
There is a goof. See. I don't know if it's the same one. There's actually three goofs that I found that I wanted to mention. So
there's a couple that I noticed.
Okay.
So we'll see if I actually caught real goofs.
Well, I mean, could be real and I just didn't find them. Or discarded them as not super interesting. So we start out in Hammond's office. Jack joins because he wants to talk about this mission upon which we are to embark. Seems a bit ridiculous. That's his literal words. And General Ryan is here, the actual general, right? Mm-hmm. Chief of Staff back then. Jack missed some memo. Because he was off-world, I think, about mm-hmm. this mission. The ridiculous mission. Because they want to make M4C-862 a permanent research station. That's the idea. That's why they're going there. And Jack should make the assessment. And Jack's like, why me? And whatever. And General Ryan is it very clearly. He kind of was awestruck a little bit by Richard Dean Anderson, but he basically said, yeah, I like your work. And that's why. Yes. So turns out Daniel and Carter got out of, and I quote Jack, this very important mission.
I thought it was weird we did not have Daniel in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we did not. Because Daniel is off-world with SG-11 and Carter is giving a lecture. And so Jack is like, okay, I'm going to go prepare for it. And then we get like a little funny line from General Ryan because he talks to George. He's like, to Hammond. He's like, got your hands full with that one, eh, George?
Yeah.
I really found that funny. I said, it was a fun little cameo and I really enjoyed it. So.
It was, and I loved how Richard Dean Anderson played Jack as totally starstruck that he was getting to talk to this general.
Yeah, exactly. So as I said, that was actually quite, but also Jack being Jack as usual, a little bit funny.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go to the Science Center, Air Force Academy.
Oh right, yep, the Air Force Academy.
Carter is there giving some astrophysics lecture, the aforementioned one, I guess. She's mentioning 10 dimensions and the students, of course, are a little bit questioning that. They're like, what? 10 dimensions? That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And Carter's like, well, I realize that it's all of this sounds a little bit bizarre. And you cadets would rather be somewhere else, like, I don't know, jump school or flight training. And she's like, yeah, I know, because I used to sit in those chairs and listen to the same boring lectures. But then she's like, but on the other hand, the aerodynamics that are one day going to allow to fly an F-22 started out as squiggles on a board, like just like this one. And then she's like, she has to, of course, add her spin to it. She's like, yeah, the calculations are key to opening up the entire universe. Wormholes, hyperspace may seem like science fiction, but take my word for it. The future is a lot closer than you might think. Well, yeah, we do know that.
We do know that.
They don't.
Yeah.
Overall, I really liked her lecture. It's a great lecture. I wrote that down. She is a good teacher, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. So lecture over, everybody, you know, as usual, runs away, except for the couple like teacher's pets, or the people like me who like to find errors and point them out, or like Haley.
Who does that?
I was also the person who would always do that, because she noticed an error in Carter's calculations. The professor is being a little bit dismissive, because he's like, oh, like, wait until you have whatever Carter's experience, and then you can point out errors. But Carter's like, well, you know, I mean, she might have, the delivery might be lacking, basically, but she's right. I made a mistake. This, like, this here makes absolutely no sense, and it should be the other way around.
Yeah, so the implication, Carter miswrote the equation on the board, didn't realize it, but the student that's seeing it for the first time catches it and calls it out.
Yeah, and the Professor Monroe, he's like, yeah, this is Jennifer Haley. Very intelligent, but a difficult personality.
And I think this is when I texted you something about, well, I guess we found the prodigy.
Yes, and you were right. She, of course, is the prodigy. Yeah, I think you texted me also something about her being maybe the replacement in the future for Carter.
Oh, yeah. I texted you with speculation.
Yeah, I did not tell you anything about that, and I'm still not
going to. Maybe a recurring character or a replacement, like if Amanda Tapping went out of the show or is planning on leaving at some point, then introduces character as her replacement.
Yeah. Listen, and I'm not telling you anything.
And I appreciate that.
I mean, I told you she's coming back, but not how, where, how often, what role.
Yeah. So what I'm hoping is that she's a recurring character and not a replacement for Amanda Tapping. So I know we will see.
We will see.
There are a lot of episodes.
There's a lot of episodes still. Yeah, I could tell you something, but I'm not.
Okay, don't. And thank you.
I am not. Good. Yeah, but this is the teaser. So it ends with a difficult personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we just talked about it, right? Like, did you have any idea where this episode was going? Other than, okay, we're going to spend time with Haley, I guess, right?
So at this point, I'm not sure where they're going to take us on the episode. But they've already made it very clear to me in their ham-fisted kind of way. This is an episode about this specific character that they just introduced.
Yeah.
And my thought was, oh, okay, so this is like when they tried to introduce the new Tok'ra 7 of 9 character or analog. And they gave us a whole episode to introduce Anise, this new Yeah, Anise, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an episode to introduce a recurring character, and I felt like that's where we were going with this episode, mm-hmm. just from the intro.
Yeah. Yeah. You were not wrong.
Yeah, so
the way we got
no surprises for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not for me. It was not a typical teaser because it kind of ended. Felt like in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as teasers go, this one they did a lot in this opening teaser.
Yeah.
And by the time they get to the credits, I had forgotten we hadn't done the credits yet.
Okay, maybe that's a good thing. Good. When we come back, we go to M4C862, the planet. We're at the camp. There's like some semi-permanent structures already. They've erected some metal building there,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense if you want to build a maybe permanent research station. Teal'c and Dak are there, and they're checking in with Griff. It's basically handover, right? They're like Griff is basically going home, and Dak and Teal'c are taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And Griff is like, "Well, we had a pretty thrilling week. 2 days ago, Dr. Thompson lost his glasses, and just this morning, the electron microscope broke down. So, in other words."
There's nothing happening on this moon.
Yes. There is at least one source of excitement, which is a very, very annoying scientist named Dr. Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And Griff is all too happy to dump all of that on Jack. I don't even remember what he was complaining about, but he was complaining about something.
Oh, he's complaining about the process for getting the supplies they need. It's too cumbersome, and they aren't getting what they need. They have stuff they've needed.
They're underappreciated, and they're not getting the what they need and all that. Yes, so that's the setup. If you can't tell, I think the planet will be more or less the B story until the very end.
Yeah, and so at this point, I mean, it's obvious to me that introduce this new character is A story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the moon is B story.
Yeah.
But I haven't figured out if they're actually going to have the stories merge at some point.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we now know will happen, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So back to the academy. Carter goes to General Kerrigan, the head of that academy, I guess. The dean, I don't know what to call it, he's the general simply. Carter mentions Haley to Kerrigan, and Kerrigan hands her a paper that she wrote. I think it was graded, it was pretty bad, so it was a D. It was a D, yeah, okay, it was not an F, but it was a D. But Kerrigan remarks that, yeah, once you brush the chip off her shoulder, she reminds me of another bright young cadet who came through here a few years back. Who could that be?
Yeah, who could that be?
Yes. The issue seems to be, as he points out correctly, I think, she's bored. She's bored. Like, this is not challenging her. She also doesn't see what's ahead of her, like what she could be doing, right? And I mean, even Kerrigan doesn't know that, but Carter does. Mm-hmm. The exciting life she could have. Like, for her, it's kind of like the school is boring. She's like kind of acting out or doing things just because she's bored. Which I could totally relate to because that's been my experience in school usually. I'm like, this is boring. Mm-hmm. I already got this, like, can we move on? So it was always too slow for me. So Kerrigan remarks, there was one thing I meant to mention because it triggered a pretty heavy eye roll on me. He was saying her physical skills are terrific despite her size. I'm like, that's
that was a weird line.
That was like, I mean, probably a very 90s, 2001 line.
Yeah.
Like size matters. I mean, especially in the Air Force, I'm like, this makes no sense, but okay.
So, okay. There's a thing in this scene though.
Yeah.
That seemed weird to me.
Okay.
So he's got his desk in his office. The general has his desk in his office. And I caught it, but it was quick. Does he have weird ornamentation on the desk? Or are there drawers on the side of the desk facing out?
No idea. I did not see that.
Okay. So someone let us know. Am I hallucinating like an AI here? Totally possible.
Maybe possible, yeah.
Are there drawer handles on the wrong side of his desk?
I mean, that is possible. That was a design at some point where drawers were on any side of the desk. So it's always possible.
Okay. So that's possible.
Yeah. Carter, of course, jumps on that and she's like, I want to talk to her. And he smirks because, of course, he was hoping for that.
Yes, of course.
So, back on the planet, not super important. Hamilton is still annoying Jack. Hamilton wanted to explore some caves, and they argue about it. But Jack is like, I want to check them out first. And I think Hamilton is like, yeah, but nothing happens here. We've been here literally 4 weeks, and it's the most boring place imaginable, and blah, blah, blah. And Jack is like, and Jack doesn't even engage. He's like, I'm in charge of security. I'm going to check them out, and then you can go. he's not even interested. It's like,
no, he's not. I love how for a lot of these scenes, Jack is just kind of sitting relaxed on shipping containers.
Yeah,
with his binoculars out, and he's just looking at whatever. Yeah,
he's like relaxing, having a good time, mini vacation.
Yeah.
Even later when Teal'c and him are like walking back from the caves or whatever, it's a very leisurely walk.
Yes. Yeah. Down a path that we've seen before.
Oh yeah, we have. Looks like Turlock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go back to the academy into a lab, and we get one of my favorite props always. The neon laser beam prop. You know, the tubes with the flickering lights and
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You always see them somewhere in like any sci-fi show. Carter joins. So Haley is there doing some lab work, I guess. Experiments of some sort. Carter joins her to talk about the paper. The paper is, by the way, titled, and I copied that out of the transcript, Towards the New Cosmology of Multiple Realities. Interesting title.
Very interesting title.
Yeah, especially given what we know from Stargate. But Carter points out, well, she got a D because it wasn't the assignment. Which Haley is like, yeah, but it's better. She's like, yeah, but still wasn't the assignment. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Carter starts, like, I don't really like that. She starts engaging with her on a scientific level, right? She's not just being dismissive and you're a cadet and just do your freaking job and whatever. She approaches it from a scientific perspective. She's like, it is intriguing, but it is based on way too many unfounded assumptions. She's like, for example, you assume that matter can travel both ways through an open wormhole.
And Haley's like, well, where's the evidence that it can't?
Exactly. And it's basically, there's no evidence that it can, so I just assume it is. And Carter's like, yeah, that's not how it works. Carter kind of sums it out. He's like, this paper is way, way beyond anything you're likely to be taught at the academy. And if you want points for it, hey, we are all impressed. It doesn't mean you don't do the assignment. So they're kind of not reaching a mutual understanding here. Like Haley is still like, but I'm right. And Carter's like, no, you're not. And they kind of disagree.
Yeah. And the interesting thing here is if Carter could actually tell her why she's wrong.
Yeah.
It would change things.
Yeah, but it's also like I found it really interesting because it starts out with Carter being like, as I said, like she wants to approach it from a scientific perspective and wants to argue with her. It ends up with them basically more squabbling and fighting over it. It's not very fact-based.
It wasn't anymore. Productive.
It was not productive, and Carter gets more and more frustrated with her, and yeah, so it's not a productive talk. On M4CHX2, Jack and Teal'c have checked out the caves. As we just mentioned, leisurely walking back, and they're radio and they're like, hey, Hamilton, you can go do your survey. The caves are fine. And I think Teal'c
and Hamilton's
points out,
like, wow, thanks.
Yeah, and Teal'c points out that I think, or was it Jack? Someone said, like, Jack basically wanted Hamilton to be wrong just because he was annoying.
Well, yeah, Teal'c is trying to suss out why Jack seems a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So Jack says, I wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah.
And then also, at least we'd have something to do.
Exactly.
Because then they'd be fighting the Munsters.
Yeah. And almost as if something had hurt him, they encounter a glowing, floating little orb. It hums, it flies through matter, it's zipping around. And just because Teal'c needs another line, and just because he has to point out the obvious, he says, I have never before encountered anything like it. I literally put a facepalm emoji next to my comments. Because I was like, oh, this was stupid. This is the best you could come up with. Okay.
Yeah. And so when I texted you Teal'c about
wiki,
these.
No entry. No entry.
Oh my God, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So when I texted you about these, I called them fireflies, which they remind me of, that, you know, the little bugs that have the glowy butts and
I called them glow bugs.
And you called them glow bugs.
Yeah.
Yep. Which same thing.
Yeah.
Just different regions for how you identify them. I can't remember if I texted you that I expected they're going to become a problem. But at this point, I'm already like, okay, and here's the problem on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, kind of had to be, right? So we go back to the academy. Carter goes back to Monroe and his office. Or was it a lecture hall? No, I think it was a lecture hall. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, she goes back to the professor in the lecture hall.
Yeah. So basically he wants to talk to her about the paper again. And she's like, at first I agreed with you. It just didn't add up. But there was something about it that kept nagging at me. And then she figured out what it was. The equations don't make sense unless you allow for variations in the speed of light. And Monroe is, of course, like, well, but that's a constant. And she's like, well, not if you expand the frame of reference to include multiple universes. And this is where the paper
comes
in.
And he's like, wait, what?
I think without even realizing it, Cadet Haley intuitively arrived at a whole new way of looking at cosmology. And then she teaches Monroe something. Because she's like, well, under special circumstances, what we could see as an effect preceding a cause would in fact be an effect following a cause in a parallel reality. Yes, in a way. Monroe is like, that's assuming that parallel realities occasionally overlap. Which Carter is like, I think that's the case. And of course she doesn't tell him that she actually experienced that.
Right. And she tells him that she's pretty sure this is a thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Downplaying the fact that she literally knows it's a thing and has experienced it personally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Multiple times even. So all of that is though a moot discussion because Haley just got in a fight and will be expelled. At least that's what he expects. He's like, the general just can't do anything else. He has to expel her. We go back to the planet because we have to check in what they're doing. Hamilton is being very dismissive of Jack and the military, as always. He's still arguing about it. They were about to ignore Jack's orders and go to find the glowing orb thingy, the glow bug. And I think Jack comes or something. No, yeah, Jack and Teal'c show up. Hamilton points out that this is kind of typical military thinking, that you encounter something that you don't understand and you immediately assume it's a threat. And he's also...
And Jack's like, yeah, with good cause.
With good cause. Like, he's basically like, yeah, I always assume until I know. it's literally his job, right? And then Hamilton, of course, being the big asshole here, is like, that you even think you're even qualified to decide what we can and can't do around here is... And Teal'c jumps in, and he's like, well, Colonel O'Neill is indeed qualified. Having encountered many alien species, as have I, long before you were born. I mean, yeah, in Teal'c's case, okay. I strongly suggest you do what Colonel O'Neill says. And Jack says, thank you, Rocco.
Which, you know, that's very Jack.
That's very Jack. Yeah, so, yeah. we go back to the Academy, of course. Kerrigan's office. Right. So, Haley broke one cadet's nose defending another one. That's basically what happened. Like, the other cadet was being picked on, and she stepped in, and one thing led to another, and she broke
cadet's nose.
Yeah.
Yep.
Carter clearly connected her. I mean, despite the fact that there have been at odds a little bit, she sees something. So she argues that the military really can't afford to lose her. And Kerrigan is like, we're not here to make advancements in theoretical physics. We're here to defend this country. And she's like, I understand that, sir, but they're not mutually exclusive goals. Hint, hint, hint.
right. Yeah, well, and the general even hints. Yeah,
he's not a dummy. He knows that she's working on something secret, and of course can't talk about it.
Right, and yeah, he knows the cover story.
Yeah.
Of what she's doing with radio telescopes is crap.
Yeah, yeah. So Carter argues that why Haley should be punished, she's also exactly what they need for. Space radar telemetry, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And he's like, okay.
Okay, so they call her in, Haley. Mm-hmm. And I love Carter flips here. Because, like, she was arguing for Haley, but she knows that, this kind of behavior is still not okay. And Haley has to understand that. So she flips. Mm-hmm. And she literally tells her, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
And Haley's like, okay, ma'am. And Carter's like, do you think you're better than we are? Do you think you're too good for the Air Force? And Haley's like, no, ma'am.
And she calls her out. It's like, lying to me.
No, it's like all those little rules and regulations, they don't really apply to you, right? I mean, let's face it. What's the point of a chain of command if none of your superiors are as smart as you are? I think Carter has had this thought, and probably Haley's as well. And probably a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think that's a very safe assumption.
Yes, yeah. And Haley's like, I don't feel that way. And Carter's like, I think you do. And I think deep down, you want to leave. Let me do you a favor. The door's open. Why don't you just quit and go home? And Haley's like, no, I'm not quitting. And Carter's like, I'm just giving you the chance to walk out before General Kerrigan throws you out. And Haley's like, I will not quit. So, well, at least she...
Which is exactly what Carter wanted to see.
Yeah. So Kerrigan steps in and he's like, as far as I'm concerned, you have demonstrated a remarkable inability to be a functioning member of the United States Air Force. But Major Carter has a future in mind for you, and I respect Major Carter's opinion. Although the rest of your punishment stands, I'm not recommending dismissal.
Which is a pretty big concession, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, dismissed. And So they walk outside, and Carter joins her, and Haley, like, and she's like, hey, like, I don't know what she says, but it's basically like, hey, like, I know it's hard and all of that. And I'm probably the person that can understand that most. And Haley's like, no, you're part of the problem.
which makes sense, but at the same time, okay, wasn't expecting that response from Haley.
No. She's like, but it makes sense, right? She's like, the great Samantha Carter. You think a day goes by in this place when I don't hear your name? You've gotten the highest mark in every class I've ever been in. You've won every award I've been up for. They've been comparing me to you since day one. Since the day I walked through the door. I've never quite seemed to measure up.
And yeah, Carter's Sam's like really? But, this is just about having a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, but no, Carter is like, Carter sees through that, right? She's trying to like argue for her bad behavior. She's like, so that's it? For the first time in your life, you come to a place where you're not automatically the smartest and best at everything you do? Get over it. There are more important things at stake. And this is where we get to the real core, because Haley just doesn't see a bright future at the Air Force. Like, she says something about, yeah, I mean, what do I have to look forward to? I can fly a helicopter, like
flying or transports.
Plane, or flying a transport, and it's like, woohoo, super interesting.
Yeah. And I can appreciate her frustration.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely been there. I'm like, why am I here? I mean, I didn't join the military, but I've been in similar situations. We should check in with the planet, right?
We should. And I want to point out that the closest we've come to an exposition room in this episode is the general's office in in the academy.
That is true. I don't think we ever go to the exposition, the actual exposition room this episode.
No, we don't.
Yeah. So on the planet, Hamilton is still complaining when one of the glow orb thingies shows up. And they, of course, immediately follow it to a forest and discover a swarm. There is a first little goof or little thing here that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
In the background, if you pay attention through the trees, you can see like a car or something driving past.
Oh no, I totally missed that.
It is like, if you know what to look for, it's a minivan. If you know what to look for, you can see it drives past, basically. All like, yep.
Whoops.
Oopsie. I mean, it's faint enough that most people probably didn't, like you didn't see it.
I missed it.
And Hamilton goes and stands right in the middle of the swarm. Like, it's swarming around him.
And I was expecting a problem to happen right then.
Yeah, it did not.
But at that point, I was absolutely 100% certain
that they would be
that the fireflies are going to be the problem they have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. So, having checked in with that, you know what's, you do not know what's next, right? Well, I mean, you do because you've seen it now.
Right. So, okay. Oh, this is where they go back to Stargate Command.
Yes.
And Sam is telling Hammond, General Hammond, that she needs to take Haley through the Stargate.
Yeah.
To help her have clarity for her future.
Yeah. So she brought Haley to SGC without asking for permission first. It is pretty ballsy, because that's not how it works usually. This is a top secret facility. I mean, yeah, part of it is this top secret facility.
Yeah, but you know,
yeah,
it's an example of how Haley and Sam are
alike.
Are similar. Yeah, how they're alike.
Yeah. Carter points out, and she signed all the forms, so NDAs and everything. I mean, she's in the military, so she just signs whatever is presented, probably.
Probably, yep.
Yeah. And I think she says, like, sir, if she can just get one glimpse of her possible future, she will graduate at the top of her class and become an officer worthy of serving under your command. I am absolutely sure about this. And I think Hammond asks, like, what Haley thinks, what she's here to look at. And Carter, of course, gives her, like, the, yeah, she got the cover story, like radar telemetry or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she did not tell her anything. Which, I mean, that was the right move. Like, she did not disclose a top secret program without checking it. Like, she brought her there, but she did not disclose what's actually there.
Which is good.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty smart. Yeah, so apparently Hammond agrees because the next thing we see is, like, we're walking towards the gate room in full off-world battle gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haley still doesn't know where they're going. She's like, so what's back here? Like, there's nothing down here. Like, what's so interesting about this?
and I'm assuming she's wondering why she's wearing all of this this field gear.
Yeah.
And when they're underground.
Exactly. And Carter's like, from this point on, everything you thought you knew about the universe is about to be turned upside down. And then they open the door to the gate room and step in. And I love this scene because, like, Haley's completely awestruck. She's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
This she did not expect. I really love that.
Yeah.
Ed Carter explains a little bit. I mean, they're both scientists, right? They both like and understand astrophysics. So she's like, you're looking at the event horizon of a wormhole connecting this Stargate to another identical one on another world, 45,000 light years away from Earth. 45,000 freaking light years. That is pretty far.
That's pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like when the kawoosh happens.
Yeah.
Haley is surprised and jumps back like, holy crap, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well acted too, right? Because we know that there was no kawoosh. It's right. Just acting. Yeah. So they step through.
And here's a problem.
Oh, I know which one. You noticed.
Yeah, and it was weird to me because, okay, so when they step through the wormhole, from Sam's perspective, Haley is on her right. When they show up on the other side, Haley is now on her left.
Correct. That's one of the goofs.
Yeah, that I don't know why that just really jumped out to me, but that was like a little big glaring thing. Yes,
it is. It's exactly one of the things I would have mentioned. There's another one in a second.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear what that one is because I don't know it.
Yeah. So the first thing that I think Haley remarks is like, looks like home. And Carter says something about, other planets and atmospheres and, you know, stuff.
And trees happen and it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah. Jack comes to greet them. And when he does so, there is the third thing that I want to mention, because we get like a pretty close up and Jack has his sunglasses on and we can see literally the crew in the reflection of the sunglasses.
Oh my God. I totally miss seeing that.
Yeah. So, they did not remove that. Yeah. It's like multiple shots. In the previous shots, they always made it that it was angled in a way that you couldn't say. And then literally it was like right in front of him. And they're like, okay, there's the crew with the camera.
That's funny. Okay. Well,
yeah. It's short. So,
At least it's not someone's battery pack or mic pack hanging out like we've seen in other episodes.
Could also happen, yeah. So Haley says, it was a trip, sir. Yes.
Yes, it was.
So we go to back to the lab, and they've captured one of the light beings in a glass jar. I want to point out, from here on out, it is basically one story. So this is the merging point.
Yeah, so they did converge.
Yes, this is the merging point. Jack orders it to be let go. Like, they had trapped it with, like, an electromagnetic field somehow, because, like, matter, of course, doesn't stop it. Because he's like, I think he first said, it might feel that. And they're like, it goes through matter, so we don't think so. But he's like, yeah, but then, I mean, it might be intelligent, and I don't think it would appreciate being trapped.
Which is a pretty big observation from Jack.
Yeah. Thompson and Lee go out to look for the swarm, and they have tricorders with them.
Yeah.
And Thompson finally finds one, because I know they were disappeared. But this time around, it's a little bit more aggressive than before. And all of a sudden, the swarm shows up. And this is where it turns, right? This is what you were expecting. Because,
yeah.
Yes, they start passing through him, hurting him. You see, he gets like burns on his face and whatever. Lee runs to him because they were separated, I think, looking in different places. But he sees that he can't do anything and he runs back to the camp. In the meantime, Haley is talking to Teal'c. Her first alien.
Oh, right. Yep, yeah. Her first kind of alien.
Kind of a cute scene. A cute little thing. But then Lee comes running into Cam and he's streaming for Jack. So Jack and Teal'c go to Thompson, but yeah, he's toast, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty crispy.
Yep. Big ol', looks like giant bee stings and holes. Yeah.
So not so good. So they're like, okay, let's go back to the camp, and they're about to evacuate. They basically pack everything up. I think, didn't Jack say something like, if Hamilton takes anything with him, I don't know, Teal'c can shoot him or something, or Carter, or someone could shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh no, this massive swarm, and it's bigger than anything we've seen before, shows up and blocks their exit. So they run back inside the metal building.
Yeah, and it turns out the fireflies can go right through the walls on the metal building.
Yeah, which we knew before. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
So but they're like,
okay, we get to see a bunch of them.
Yeah, so what can we do? And they're like, oh, maybe like Zats. So they try that and it temporarily works, but they're like, okay, we can't keep doing this, can't shoot people. So they put electricity from the generator to the metal structure. Hey, fortunately it's metal. So that seems to hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another thing. It's like, how long will the generator actually run? They're like, did Thompson actually refuel it? Like he was supposed to?
So if it's been completely refilled, they've got about 8 hours.
Yeah. They're like, okay, so it basically, I think Lee points it out, it could basically turn off anytime because they don't know. It's Schrödinger's generator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Carter comes up with a plan. She's like, okay, she's going to zat Jack, and then he can run to the gate and he can activate it. And that creates a big energy field because it's a superconductor, right? And that should hold them. The glow thing is back.
Okay, so that's a plan.
That's a plan. Haley has something to contribute. She's like, I've been going over Dr. Thompson's observations. Did he know the moon wasn't even formed from the original accretion disk of the planet?
Jack's response. I suspected.
Well, I mean, he is an astronomy buff, so it's possible. Thompson thinks it was a rogue that got pulled into a highly eccentric polar orbit, and the planet's magnetic field emanates from poles, actually, like most planets. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most intense, and according to Dr. Thompson's observations, we entered into the polar phase of the orbit a couple days ago, about the same time as the creatures were first encountered, and they became violent right at the moment we were directly over the pole. So she thinks this is related and they can just wait. And Carter thinks no, because if we wait, like the generator might turn off and we're toast.
Right. Yeah. And Carter also thinks that the fireflies might be acting in retaliation for being held prisoner.
So if they just wait, it will get worse. And Haley thinks she's right, and Carter thinks she's right. And they can't agree, of course, because they're both very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack has to decide. And Jack decides he will go to the gate. And Haley doesn't agree. She's like, why? Like, this is not the right course of action. And Carter points out, well, if he makes a run for the gate, he's risking his own life. If he waits, he risks everyone's life. He just can't do that. Which still pisses her off. Fair, but yeah. Still pisses her off. But she doesn't argue anymore, at least. So, Tilk gets to Jet. It gets to Zed. Jack, hey, we get to use the stupid weapons again.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing about the Zats.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because some people are stronger than others. When Jack shot the scientist with the Zat to get, because he's trying to get the fireflies that are shooting through his body away from him, the scientist is unconscious.
Yeah.
When Teal'c shoots Jack, Jack falls down and lays there and goes, oh my God, because it hurts. And
I mean, Jack has some experience with it. Maybe he got used to it. Like, I mean, you know, there's people that can withstand and like even swat away. What they call it?
Oh, like a taser?
Tasers, yes. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's something like that. There's supposed to be people that like pepper spray doesn't work on. So maybe like
I'm not going to test that on myself. I'll just assume it works.
Thank you. Yes. So he runs outside, runs to the gate. The swarm follows him. They catch up a bit or after a while, but they don't attack. So they just keep swarming around him. So very clearly he's still working. So he starts dialing, and then all of a sudden the effects start to wear off. So he's getting swarmed and attacked. And Deus Ex Tilk shows up. It's the only thing he does, really, in this episode. He zaps the ground, saving Jack, basically, because now they're swarming away. Jack is able to activate the gate. Hey.
And Jack says, and then the says, lightning
I'll never complain. Away. Yeah, I'll never complain about mosquitoes again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the others join them at the gate. Hamilton apologizes to Jack, which is nice. I think I think Lee thanked him. Hamilton apologized for being a jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I believe I owe you an apology. And Jack says, yes, you do.
Yeah. So everybody else goes through, and Carter and Haley are kind of towards the end because we needed this scene, of course.
Right.
Haley is like, is it always like this? And Carter is, no, sometimes it gets really exciting.
Yeah.
And Haley is like, well, and that seems to be super important for her. I mean, she's young. Will I ever find out which one of us is right? And Carter is like, if you stick around long enough, maybe. Besides, there'll always be other planets. And Haley is like, it's a moon. Carter's like, okay, you're right about that. The end.
The end.
Yes.
Well, okay, there are parts of the episode that I definitely enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole episode felt in many ways like a contrived setup to introduce a new character, much like when we got our 7 of 9.
Anise.
Which was what, beginning of this season, or was it last season?
I think it was last season, but now I'm questioning it. Maybe you're right.
Yeah. It's
been a while. And we've seen a lot of episodes this season.
Yeah. So, but overall, I didn't feel like this was that strong of an episode.
No, it wasn't. It was this season because Upgrades was this season. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we've had two episodes in this season trying to introduce new characters.
Yeah.
I'm
of course not going to tell you if that's true or not, but I didn't get that sense. I got more the sense that they wanted to introduce the concept of, I mean, where do all those people come from the other Starkey teams?
Oh, okay.
And that didn't even occur to me. Yeah, you need somewhat different people for this kind of job, right? This is not the average Air Force person.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah.
And also like a little bit of, okay, like next generation, basically. Carter can relate to the next generation and all of that. And I think that was the basic idea of this. I mean, I did not get the sense that they have a bigger plan. Not from this episode. I said, I'm not telling you what happens after. I mean, I told you she will be back in some capacity, but like, we'll see. But I, at least from this episode, it was more a young Carter, basically, showing up and challenging her also a little bit, right? I mean, it's not just Carter gets to experience firsthand how annoying she probably was sometimes, maybe still sometimes.
Yeah, but she's also very effective.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, I've been that person, so I'm like, I can be annoying too. So, and I've probably been very annoying in school.
Well, this is a crush you bear for being so smart.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so that's why I'm saying. Like, I think at least that's not the sense I got, that they want to introduce a new person here.
Yeah. Well, so interesting though that's right where I went.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, given what we know from Anise, this is a pretty obvious conclusion to jump to, though.
Right. Yeah.
They tried that already. They've tried to introduce new aliens. They've tried to introduce new characters, like permanents, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just feels like this is the next attempt to do the same.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and to be fair, I mean, in a show that runs this long, this will happen all the time because you will have an idea. And I mean, sometimes it's like you have an idea and you think, oh, this person would be great and there could be like a bigger story and you want to tell it, and then it turns out it doesn't work. Or it works, who knows. Or there's maybe the one where it's like you didn't expect it and you're like, oh, but this person is actually pretty cool, so we should do more, like Kinsey, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, or
Mayborn.
Mayborn, yeah, especially Mayborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Mayborn.
So I think that's like, that's not natural in a show, right? You will always have people come up that stand out. A lot of people that don't, and some people that do. Mm-hmm. And you will want to do something with them and develop them further. And that's my sense. That's what happens here.
So, and
like I said, I'm not telling you. Maybe we'll get to a point where I'm like, yeah, and obviously what you thought was exactly what happened.
Or Jeff, you need to stop being so critical.
You are more critical than me. Like, we see that in our ratings. So.
That's fair. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. Speaking of numbers, unless you have any other thoughts, I think we talked enough about this.
I'm ready to give you a rating on this one.
Okay, so then tell me, like, why is this 17 chevrons for you?
Oh my gosh, there must be a lot more chevrons hiding under that that ramp.
There's a whole second gate that like you can...
That pops
plop,
out.
Plop out. And then all of a sudden, you got 16.
Okay. Yep. I can accept that. Yeah. Okay. This one for me, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I didn't find it that compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And there were too many things that felt contrived in the episode. And I fully accept that I'm probably being too critical. But this one for me was a very solid 5. It was a very respectable 5.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. There's a lot of very, very contrived things in this episode. Like the basic idea of what they wanted to tell, like Carter and younger, and the kind of Carter having to deal with her younger self, basically. In a way, and like giving someone like that also a perspective that she wants to work towards, all of that, great idea. Taking her off world to show her that, great idea. Like all of that kind of cool. everything else is kind of contrived, like the whole, like, oh, there has to be glow bugs and they have to be dangerous and science stuff and the scientists have to be annoying and all of that. Very, very contrived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Haley has to also fight someone. That's also immediately clear. Like.
Yes. Yep.
She has to act out that way. Yeah, I know. I'm with you. Like, it's, there's a lot of contrived things here.
Yeah, it's a five.
It's a five. Okay, noted.
How about you?
I'm debating. Like, I, you know, I'm usually more optimistic than you, so I'm on the fence.
Don't let me bring you down.
I'm on the fence between a five and a six. On the one hand, I really like Haley. I like her character. I like her spirit. I like her. She's very young. You can tell. Like, she's a young adult, right? She still thinks she's right about everything, and it's important to be right about everything.
Yeah. Yes, this is a character that now that it's introduced, if Haley is recurring, depending on how often she shows up, they could do a very interesting growth arc with this character.
Yeah, but as I said, it's also pretty typical for someone that age that you think you know everything and you're smarter than everything and everybody should believe you because you're right about everything and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like later on you learn that, okay, it's a little bit more complicated. Right, so I like her. And Carter and her together are kind of the highlights and everything else is very weak.
Well, yes. I mean, the episode is about Carter and Haley.
Yeah.
And everything else is filler.
Yeah.
Just to give gives us a setup for when Carter and Haley have the actual external conflict that they have to address.
Yeah.
Which leads them to really breaking through that barrier and connecting.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm going to give it a five as well. Like I've decided. I think there's too many. As much as I relate to the story and connect with the story and like see the parallels to my own life in some aspect, and I wish someone had taken me to the Stargate to show me the future. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
That would have been really cool. And I probably thought so even more. When this aired, because I was still in school. I was literally in high school still. Yeah, there's too many other, like everything else kind of doesn't make any sense. Like the Jack and Teal'c are kind of useless. The scientists are just there to be annoying. It's just, even the thank you and the apology at the end kind of doesn't feel right. And yeah, so it's a five.
Yeah, I can accept that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know what I'm going to accept next.
Yeah, but before we get there, I have a question. Did they? Uh-huh. Okay, so they have an in-story explanation for why Michael Shanks isn't in this episode. Is there a behind-the-scenes reason why he's not? I mean, I can't imagine they would write an episode without him.
I could not find
just
anything.
Just without a reason.
Yeah. That's it. I was not able to find anything.
Interesting. I mean, even when he was dealing with the appendicitis,
they
still managed to have to get enough footage to include him in the episodes where he was out.
Yeah. As I said, maybe some he was doing something else. As I said, I could not find any source for that. He's just not in it. He's mentioned, but he's not in it.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. The next episode is a really interesting one. Entity.
Entity.
Entity. Written by Peter Ruiz.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, and I'm sure that the German title is not something you should share with me.
Yeah. No.
All right.
I just looked at it and I was like, no.
So
I don't think it spoils anything, but it would also sidetrack you. So I'm not giving you.
Okay. Fair. That's fair.
It's different. All right. It's just to like make it clear. It's different than entity. So that's why I'm not.
All right. So okay, they're going to encounter, they meaning SG-1, they're going to encounter, because it's entity, that like an energy-based life form. So it could be like the glowy, I forgot the name, the glowy ones that were babysitting the Harcesis.
Oh, I mean, it could be... There's actually no name for them. They're just ascended beings.
The ascended beings. Okay, so it could be one of those. And so now they have so why would they encounter this being? Okay, I've got it. This one has been trapped in some way, and they encounter it, and now they are trying to free it, to save it, and so now they have some sort of very interesting interaction, because they're getting to interact with this energy being, the ascended thing, in a way that goes far beyond what they've been able to do before. Now, the logic for me going down this off-the-wall path is that entity, to me, implies non-corporeal.
Okay. That would make sense from the name entity. I'll write that down as well. Entity. It's hard to type that. Non-corporeal.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a weird...
Yes.
Weird pattern of vowels and consonants.
Yes.
So I get
it. Oh, good. Okay. Interesting. By the way, we did not look at your previous predictions.
Oh, right. Because
I forgot about that.
But did we even need to? Because I totally nailed it.
Yeah, kind of. A young person who is very gifted at whatever, and SG-1 will encounter this person, child or teen. Brilliant child becomes core to solving the crisis on whatever the planet is. Half right, at least. Not sure she was core, but she...
She was not core.
She was not core at all. She was just there. Crisis.
The core element.
Yeah.
Yeah, the core element of that part is actually needing to have Sam and Haley clash on the motivation for the Fireflies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which we never get an answer. Who's right? The crisis could be Googled or something, like the computer's runaway or environmental, you said. Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to go no on that.
But you said not the Harcesis. That's correct. And Jeff predicts he's at least partially right. That is correct.
I'll take that as a win.
You'll take that as a win. Okay. You know.
Okay, to be fair... predicting that this is an episode about encountering a younger person that is a prodigy seemed like a really safe bet, because prodigy.
Because prodigy. Yeah, I mean, but also sometimes you're completely wrong. So that's not a guarantee that from the title you actually get the right
idea. That's true. I have been so horribly off base with some of the obvious titles.
Yeah, in hindsight, obvious. Yeah. Yeah, so next episode is episode 20, 420.
So in Colorado, that has additional exciting meaning.
Yes. Maybe we'll see if that was what the people were smoking when they wrote this. Who knows?
maybe they're hallucinating an entity.
Yeah, we'll see. But we'll see. Yeah, so... that's it. I could give you the IMDb rating. Actually, I'm not. We'll just end it here.
That sounds good.
We'll just zat the person and run to the gate and go through it.
I am here for it.
So that means we should then let the people know where they can find out more about you.
Oh, okay. I say, oh, okay, like it's a surprise. That's what we're doing. Surprise.
We've never done this before.
Okay, so Jay Gamut on the various social medias, mostly active right now on Mastodon and Pixelfed and Blue Sky. And then, as usual, I'll pick just a couple shows. So this week, I will pick The Big Show on the British Tech Network and Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show.
Very cool.
How about you, Patrice?
Yeah, I'm on the British Tech Network with you every week, and everything I do is on my website, thepatrice.com. We are also on social media for you as a show. You can, for example, ping us on message us on Mastodon at RetroRewatch at techhangout.social, like Brian, for example. The other Brian has done. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
The Brian that provides the awesome RetroRewatch, like
our rating spreadsheet.
The rating spreadsheet where we can see that I'm more positive than you usually about episodes.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. I think maybe because it's one of my favorite shows and I've seen it so many times, I know what's coming, and so I see things maybe a little bit more positively because I know where they lead.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, could be. Yep. Or I'm just a more positive person. Who knows?
That's possible to you.
That's possible too. Where was I? Oh, Blue Sky was missing. Blue Sky, we're at British. No, at British Tech Network. At Retro Rewatch. At RetroRewatch.com. Yes, because I always say the other one as well. At RetroRewatch.com is where we are. And you can also just send us an email, hello@RetroRewatch.com, if you want. That's also fine. And I think with that, we should close the iris, go home, have a cup of tea, and watch the next episode.
And watch Entity.
Watch the Entity.
I love this plan.
I love this plan. All right. See you soon.